A divided U.S. Supreme Court decision today has the potential to affect some 25 million non-union workers. The court ruled that businesses can prohibit their workers from banding together in disputes over pay and workplace conditions. Joining us to talk about this and more is WBUR legal analyst and former federal judge Nancy Gertner. Judge Gertner, thanks for coming in.
Nice to be here.
So this case, Epic Systems Corp. versus Lewis, is one of two labor-related cases before the high court right now. What do you think this decision means for employees?
Well, let me put it in context for a moment. These were cases about overtime rules for employees, and it was the kind of case that an individual employee would not likely bring because the amount of money is not substantial, because the costs of litigation are so high. So rather, they brought it, as workers all across the country have done, in class action suits. The employers come back in and say, you don't have a right, you signed a waiver of your rights to access to the federal courts. This should be an arbitration. The significance of that is an arbitral panel typically does not involve class actions. It's usually an individual process. It's a confidential process. There are very limited appeals. And so to some degree, it is a considerably lesser forum for the litigation of these claims. The workers came back and said that we are workers. And under the National Labor Relations Act, there's a right to collectively organize, to engage in collective action, and that right basically preempts this arbitration provision. People like us who have a right to collectively organize should not be forced to waive our access to collective access to the courts. Mm. In a decision which we could have predicted from Justice Gorsuch, he concludes that the language of the Labor Act is not sufficiently precise to be able to trump these arbitration clauses. Justice Ginsburg comes back and says this is egregiously wrong, and for 80 years we have interpreted the right to collectively act to conclude access to the courts. But it was a 5-4 majority, and the employers won.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, though, it's my understanding that Justice Gorsuch, he was saying, this is really up to Congress, right? Congress has sort of already dealt with this, and this is a domain where Congress should enter and deal with it. And is that likely then? Do you think?
No, do you remember the debate when Gorsuch was nominated about this case involving a trucker who had been in a truck and the brakes were freezing, and he pulled over, and then he ultimately left the load of the truck on the side of the road while he went off because he thought he would die. And Gorsuch, in a dissent, said, I'm sorry, the language of the statute doesn't protect this guy, notwithstanding the fact that the National Transportation Board had ruled in his favor. Gorsuch is said because the federal collective bargaining, the National Labor Relations Act, didn't specifically talk about arbitration, then therefore these rights, which have been broadly interpreted, are irrelevant. So this is not surprising. And what he's doing is taking a statute that was intended to deal with the imbalance between a worker and an employer, that's the reason for collective action, and saying, I'm sorry, it's now back again to the individual employee against the company.
Right. And who are the workers that this would primarily affect?
Well, this is anyone who would be covered by the National Labor Relations Act, this particular statute. They sought protection for collective action in the National Labor Relations Act, and this is saying, no, you face your employer. If you file a document to waive your rights, you've waived your rights. There's no such thing as collective action. It's only with respect to overtime pay. You still have a right to collectively organize with respect to union organizing.
Hmm. So the other labor case before the court, let's talk about that as well. People call it the Janus case, right? And that would allow union members to quit unions and not pay their dues, but the unions would still be required to represent these folks. So what do you take from today's ruling on this and how the court might be leaning when it makes a ruling on Janus?
Well, again, you have to want to put this in context. The whole reason for payment to unions, the whole reason for protection for collective bargaining, is the notion that that there has to be institutional supports for collective action. There has to be some way to protect it, protect union elections, protect bargaining, etc. And one such protection was the notion that you had to pay for union membership because the union bargains on behalf of everyone. So you can't be in a situation where you're not paying for union membership all the while that you're getting the benefits of the union bargaining. If the court finds that mandatory payment of union membership dues is illegal, it will substantially undermine the ability of unions to organize. Because then they'll be in an anomalous situation. You have 10 people in a bargaining unit, let's say, just as a hypothetical. You're representing, five of them, and five are not paying. But nevertheless, what you gain for the group will be the group's gains.
Right.
So this will undercut sort of one of the institutional supports of union organizing. And, you know, the fact that it's a 5-4 majority in this case doesn't bode well for that case either.
So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about some local legal issues. Massachusetts, first off, we recently learned, is in the unenviable position of having one of the oldest prison populations in the country. And although we have a new criminal justice reform bill, this is still the case, and that bill allows for what's known as compassionate release for some of the state's sickest inmates. They can be released if they can prove that they're no longer a public safety threat. So how is compassionate release dealt with then in Massachusetts? Is it rare? Is it?
Up until now, there's been no mechanism. You had to apply for commutation, making sort of a special pitch that your sentence deserves to be reduced in some measure. The bill provides for medical review of the individual, provides for input from the Department of Corrections to determine the circumstances, and then court review if the superintendent of the institution doesn't give you medical release. I understand the governor is suggesting, is proposing, is that you take out of this bill first-degree murder defendants.
Right.
Which makes no sense. I think the Globe reported today that there are over 300 first-degree murder defendants. The issue is whether these individuals are so sick that they can't possibly be a public health challenge to anyone. Public safety challenge to anyone. They're so old, they're so sick that it doesn't make sense for the state to be paying some. Again, the Globe's figures were, what was it?
$283,000 to care for someone at the Shattuck Hospital Correctional
Unit.
Right.
Yeah, a year. As opposed to their being released and then with family and friends and taking care of their needs in that way. We are one of the few states without a mechanism for compassionate release. Even the federal system has a mechanism for compassionate release. That was the mechanism through which Sal DeMacy was released only a year ago. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't make sense as a public safety issue not to have this, and you'll have a case-by-case analysis.
Mm-hmm. And Governor Baker's, as you said, that exemption, but that also comes as Governor Baker has talked about possibly reinstating the death penalty in Massachusetts. So what does that suggest, do you think, about legally what might be happening? Is it a change? Is it politics? What's going on?
Well, if he reinstates the death penalty, it will be a substantial change. This state has not had a death penalty for numbers of years. And the question is, why? Why do you need to do that? Our violent crime is as low as it has ever been all around the country, but particularly here. Why? Why do you do that? If there's no deterrence, if there's no need for it, if there's no public safety rationale. So then the question is, is it politics? Mm. And I think that's an open question.
All right. Nancy Gertner, WBUR legal analyst and retired federal judge. Judge, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.